passou, que eu vou passar pra mim, né? Ou não vou passar pra mim? Arbaminim here? Okay, sorry. Otherwise I go sit here a day if you're here. Okay, I guess we'll start with the Esrog. No? It's usually Yeshva Tam, Yeshva Reach, usually most expensive. In Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Chutz Laretz, I guess it depends on places, but people here buy the Minim sometimes, not as a set, but buy Esrog, will of the set. So in terms of an esrog, the ikar, of course, is that it shouldn't be murkav, that it should be an esrog. And that's why we have the various hechsherim. Person, whatever you buy, you should ask him where it's coming from. Do you have a hechsher? The Mishnah Berurah speaks about in Siman Taf Reish Mem Ches, that's the Siman dealing with esrog. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat on Samachay, he points out, esrog murkav, eskimu aposkim shupasul, the lo nikri esrog klal. Then he gives various simanim, how you know the difference between esrog murkav and regular esrog. Then he points out that the Chasam Sofer wasn't happy with these simanim. Kosav chuvas Chasam Sofer, etc. You shouldn't be, in other words, the simanim are very, very unclear. And then the end, he ends up, adaito d'lemaisa ein lismoch ala simanim klal lahakel, v'dinim shel esrogim kedin of tahar. The ne'echal b'masoras. You have to have a masoras that this comes from a paradise that has always used trees that have been pure esrog trees. The haynu she'oso hamakom yamuchzak miyomim kadmonim she'esrogehem einam murkavim. Ha'omasayim sham ha'olam yizeh that in Europe kol esrogim she'enam boim miyanana in Greece that was known that they were muchzak bekashus miyomim kadmonim en likach liksav hechsher. And so here in Eretz Yisrael, so someone says this is the Zan Chazonish, this is Kirshenbaum, this is from Mordechai Eliyahu, from here, from there. Namely, that basically the kashrus isn't so much on Trumos and Maestros and Shvius, but the kashrus is it an Esrog? A. B, a second, I don't know if the difference between Chutzaretz and Eretz Yisrael, but generally, the Esrogim for Eretz Yisrael were sent to Eretz Yisrael, they were picked already at the end of August. And they were then put on the boat, or whatever, however they send it to America now. And by the time they get to America, they're all yellow, because they turn from green to yellow in the course of their travels. But the esrogim that are sold in Eretz Yisrael are basically those that were picked the week before Rosh Hashanah and since. And so many of them are still green. So a green esrog, we have a sif in Shulchan Aruch. A sif in Shulchan Aruch points out Sif Kaf Alas. Hayorok Shedome Leisve Hasada Pasul Elim Kain Choser Lamara Esro Kosher Kishemashin Hoso. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sif Katan Samachet, that same Sif Katan, he points out that Mikomakom Iskimu Achronim Dein Lismoch Alzela Maisa, to say, well, probably it will turn yellow. Vein Lismoch and Liknos Esrogim Elim Kain Hiskil Bemiktas Loshuv Mara Esrog. The Shema Yenishar Yarok. Really, it depends upon the nature of the green. The picture in this book. I'm at page. That's fine. Now, it's most esrogim that are green, there's like a yellow greenish. They're sort of like a light green. But occasionally, you'll see an esrog, or this is like a lighter green. You see an esrog which is a dark green, like Shmuel's shirt, right? So, just to give you a set, I don't know if you can see the picture. So, like Shmuel's shirt, an esrog that's pure that color and hasn't yet begun to change, pashas is pasul. That's the esrog ki yisvei hasada. You'll find such esrogim in the shuk. The fact that they're being sold doesn't mean that they're kosher. Okay. Okay, so but most Esrog we're going to find will still be a lighter green, like did it bring not yellow? there are Esrogim that are yellow, but there are many of them that are light green. It's fine. It means that they're on their way to turning yellow. Thirdly, in terms of the maros on the Esrog, so in Sif Yud Beis. Again, it's Siman Tafresh Memches. It points out me chotmo va'elech, and explains the hainu yimakom shemaspil l'shapeya ada pitma. The upper part of the esrog where it begins to turn in towards the pitma, towards the peak. Posel chazizis v'kol shinui mare b'kol shehu. And the example given of kol shehu. Sorry, the shinui mare is the Mishmaros says kigon shachar v'lavan. So. What you have to search for is that there shouldn't be a black dot on the upper part of the esrog. That's necessary. That's not a question of a chatchila, of a hidur. That's meikar hadin. If there's a black dot on the upper third of the esrog, it's possible. And if you there now in Eretz Yisrael, they have esrogim they sell in a closed box. You know, you pay a certain amount of money. It's like those machines where you get those little eggs and you open it up, and you get an esrog. You pay less money than you would. If you were to choose your own esrog, and so if you open up the box and there is a black dot on the upper part of the esrog, then you can return it. Then you get a posek to say this is pasul. Posek will sign on the side this is pasul, and then you return it and take another one. If it happens to look like a mermaid, that's your problem. You bought a closed box, but at least you should get you had a kosher esrog. It should at least be bedieved kosher. In terms of bletluch, right? That. Nowadays, most esrogim have what they call bletluch. Bletluch means that they have like sort of a tan stain on the esrog, which many times is not felt. It's like on the surface itself. Generally, it comes from the fact that there were it was either covered with that point was covered with a leaf. Or that there was a kotz, a thorn from the esrog tree that sort of made a little hole, and then this sort of covered the hole. And the bletluch are usually viewed like the chazizis, namely that as long as it's pretty much on the surface of the esrog, then it doesn't in any way passel the esrog. But in terms of hidur, the chotam should be clear of the bletluch, preferably. In other words, not mi'ikar hadin. It's the Mishnah Berurah over here, Sifkata Memtes, points out, avo mashe nase mekom akom v'adom machmat she'oksin oso kotzim kosher. In other words, it's not considered to be a shini mara. It's not the equivalent of a black dot. Here you're doing on the level of a hidur. That an esrog that has bletluch on it is certainly kosher, but the hidur would be that the top of the esrog would be free of bletluch, and then of course a greater hidur would be that the entire esrog would be free of bletluch. That's basically it's a regel achas, and of course if the esrog is chaser, if there's a part of the peel is peeled off, then it's a problem. Again, it's hard to see, but I don't know if you can see. I can only see it. That on these esrogim you have over here bletluch. Yeah, yeah.
What size of a black dot passes an esrog? How visible does it have to be?
That it should be visible to you, without a magnifying glass.
Close to the eye, normal distance.
Should be visible to you. My children see things I don't see. How much they tell me? Did you see that dot? I said no. Look at it. I took off my glasses. I don't see it. I don't see any light. I don't see it. They see it. They'll say there's a dot there, right? So it has to be visible to you. If it's not visible to you, you get many more kosher esrogim if you take an esrog to an older posek. it has to be visible to you in terms of your vision. That's all. It's near la'ayin. Okay, that's in terms of an esrog. In terms of a lulav. So you're stuck tomorrow morning. Rabbi David will be here. He's younger than me. In terms of a lulav. Siman Tuf Reish Mem Hey. What did I write over here? Yeah. In terms of an esrog, you're also going to find that most esrogim in Eretz Yisrael don't have a pitum. Again, the Esrogim that fits in sent to Chutzlaretz, get more money for it. And also a lot of Hasidim in Chutzlaretz, and they like Esrogim with a nice pitim. But the Esrogim, if an Esrog has a pitim which has been broken off, that's a problem, perhaps, of Chaser. But in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of Esrogim grow without a pitim. The pitim basically is, as what I was told by people who grow Esrogim, is a factor of fertilization. The more an Esrog, the more they fertilize a tree, then the pitim grows. If the tree is not that well fertilized, then the pitim simply, as it's growing, falls off and grows without a pitim. I was once in an orchard of Esrogim, and there was a tree where half the tree had Esrogim with pitumim, and the other half had it without. Why? Because the birds used to perch above there were telephone wires above the tree, and they would perch on the telephone wires, and they would naturally fertilize the Esrogim on one side of the tree. And so those Esrogim had a pitum, and the other Esrogim didn't. It was amazing. So it's perfectly fine. It's not a problem. Don't view it as though you're getting taken for a ride by someone who thinks that you're an American. It's, you know, in terms of prize pashas, it's true. Have an Israeli speak for you. But but in terms of the kashrus of the Esrog, it's fine if it grew without the pitum. In terms of a lulav, so the in Sif Gimel, Siman Taf Reish Mem Hei. So over there, the Mechaber points out, "Biryas ha'olin shel halulav kachu," that the leaves grow kishen gedelim gedelim shnayim shnayim udvukim migaban, that they grow as a leaf is comes up with two halves that are connected, and that's considered to be, and the begav shel shnei ha'olin hu anikra tiyomes. When you're dealing with the middle leaf, that's the tiyomes. Nechaka hatiyomes psula. How far does the tiyomes have to be cut that it should be pasul? So the Rama says, yesh mefarshim lomar dim nechak ola ha'olyon ha'emtsoi shel ha'shedra ad ha'shedra nikri nechaka tiyomes. It has to be like a broom. You know, it's just totally, you know, it's broken all the way down. V'achi nohagin ulechatchila mitzvah min hamufchar nohagin litol lulav shelo nechrak ole ha'elyon klal ki yesh machmirin afilu benechrak tzas. The Mishnah Berurah brings a number of deos. How far does it have to be nechrak? But everyone says there's a certain shear, maybe a tefach, maybe rov, maybe kulo. That it shouldn't be nechrak at all is a chumrah. And we're machmir, yesh lahachmir afilu b'mashu, but one should realize that it's, you know, it's as a chumra, it's not me'ikar hadin. But l'chatchilo, you want to be yotze the daraisa according to all the deos, so we try to find the middle leaf, the tiyomet, is not nechrak at all, or just, you know, just a small mashu, but nothing serious. So one looks, you know, takes a luluf, holds it in front of you, so that it should look straight, because later on, the end of the siman, it points out him. If you have a situation im ne'ekam le'echad mehatzdodim, or if it's ne'ekam le'achol rav towards you, then it's a ne'ekav. I'm sorry, ne'ekav away from you. You know, it's le'achol rav. Then it's pasul. If it's I'm sorry. Im ne'ekam le'achol rav kosher. Right, kizel biryasa. If it's nekam away from you, then it's kosh, that's biryasa. If it's nekam towards you, or it's nekam to one of the two sides, that it looks like a resh rather than a vav, that's considered. So first you hold it to see that it's straight. And again, if it's nekam a little bit, neikar adin it's kosher, but as a hidur it should be as straight as possible. Then look at the middle leaf on the top to see that preferably it should be a hole all the way up. You shouldn't, if you're not used to doing it, don't try and check it with your fingers, because then you'll pass the lulav, and Pashas, the mocher, could sue you for being mazik his merchandise. Sometimes you have a situation where you have two tiyomot. You have two middle leaves that come up, and you see two middle leaves coming up at the top, relatively close to one another, that's fine. But if those two tiyomot come up like a pitchfork, they come up like this, that's what's called a hymnic. That's nechlak a hymnic. That's brought over here in Sif Zayin. im nisrecha kushnei sibdakav zemi ze ad sheniru kishnayim pasul. Afilu lo nechakati yomes el yona. Binyan shi pasalu mikoach nechakati yomes. It's not a problem of nechakati yomes. It's simply that the two tiyomot are look apart from one another. There's a picture here in the book. What page was it? Kuf Memvav. That's not unusual. It comes up one over like this, and one like this. And between, in other words, they come up a little, they don't come up like this, but they come up a little separated. Like that. That's a problem of nechlika. Oh, sorry, not nechlika hatiyomes, but of that it's nire kehinmik. There are many lulavim that are still covered with like a bark, with a red bark. It's called kara. It's not dealt with in Shulchan Aruch what the status is. Of course, you can't tell under the bark what's going on. You sort of assume that since naturally the leaves grow together, so hopefully under the bark everything is together, and maybe that would be like a guarantee that it's together. That's sort of all cemented together by this red klipa, by this red bark. In Eretz Yisrael, it's totally, there are those who are knowing dafka to buy that, and there are those who are knowing dafka not to buy that, and most Americans have no minhag at all. So it's not a, you know, it's fine to buy. You know, it's fine to buy. We could have a chazaka that lulavim that are grown naturally, the tiyomet is whole. And if the bark falls off, and then you see that it's possible, so then again, meikar hadin, nechaka tiyomet is only a problem if it's nechak Rubo, Kulo, etc. So if you already bought it, certainly you can use it and make a bracha on it, even if it's nechlak a little bit. If it turns out that you have the nira kehinmik, that's a psul in and of itself, and then you'd get another lulav. But generally, if you get it with the bark tends to stay on for most of the chag. So, you know, it's your call. Whether you want it, you don't want it. It also, some say it depends as to how you do the nanuim. That if you're a litvak and you do the nanuim, you know, it's just by moving it back and forth. So my nafkamina is bark. If you like to do the nanuim, you like to shake it, that it goes in all different directions, clearly nothing is going to happen if you shake it with the bark, right? You just get frustrated. And so then you would want a lulav that you know, sort of going with the wind. That goes this way, that way. So, you know, if you have such a strong minhag, then follow your minhag. Okay, Esrog, Lulav, move over to Hadassim.
That's called Kara?
Kara. Kuf, okay. Kuf Ayin Resh He. Kuf Ayin Resh He. And they have a picture here.
Is Kara something else?
Kora? Kora is something that's, yeah, Kora is something else. It's within the Lulav, within the Tamar tree, it's like a string that goes around.
And then you have a Kora. With a Kora. Is that did they say Kara? I just misheard them.
Wait, what did he say?
I thought they said Kora.
No, they'll say whatever they want.
It must be
Kora. It's Kuf Ayin Resh, Kuf Aleph Resh Aleph, Kara. Okay, I don't remember. It probably has a picture here. What else? Hadassim. Okay, in Hadassim. Dinei Hadas. So, Sif Gimel, Taf Resh Mem Vav. Anaf Eitz Avot, Amar Batorah, Hu Hadas, Sha'alav Chofim Et Eitzo. That it looks like a chain in which the leaves cover the stem. And where it's preferably, you know, one wouldn't see the stem because the leaves constantly cover the stem. But that's, you know, but the Iker is Kagon Gimel Alimo Yoter B'Givo Echad. The hidur is that the leaves cover the stem totally, but the ikar is that it should be a hadas mishulash as opposed to a hadas shoteh. There is a daya in the Ramah that the Yusul Chatzchila use hadas of shoteh, very, very strange daya. The Mishnah Berurah rejects it. But the question is, what exactly does it mean to be mishulash? Here there's a very well known kula of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The ideal mishulash is that the alim, the leaves, come up from an oketz, they come up from a stem. If the stems are exactly starting at the same point, that's the ideal mishulash. You have three stems starting from the same point. If the stems start where one of the stems is above totally the lower stem, then that's a hadash shoteh. You have two from the same point and one above. What many times you have that the stem, that one stem will start from the middle of the other stem, not from the bottom, but from the middle. Rosh Hashanah Zalman passes, as long as you can make a line which is horizontal to the ground, and that line will cut through the two stems, that's considered to be within the world of Mishulash. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay. Exercise of futility. Okay. Here you have your stem. This is our leaf. So if we have two other leaves starting from exactly the same point over here, that's great. So let's say we have over here this leaf. Another leaf starts over here. Right? And it's, you can make a horizontal line that will cut through these two. That's still called Mishulash. Were you to have a situation where one leaf would be over here and another leaf would begin over here, namely that these are two different planes altogether, even the top of this stem and the bottom of this stem are not on the same plane, then you move over into the world of Hadash Shoteh. Generally, most Hadassim begin towards the bottom as being Shotim and then turn into Mishulash. So when you're measuring to know whether you have the proper length of three Tfachim, so you just work your way up the lulav until you get to the point of Mishulash, and then from there until the top, you require minimally three Tfachim. Okay, that's in terms of the Hadassim. Many times in Eretz Yisrael, they sell them in a vacuum bag, again, with a hechsher, that someone went over them, and there are different levels. There's Aleph, 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 then there's Aleph, Aleph, and there's Aleph. Okay. There are different prices as well. And if you buy such a bag, my suggestion would be to keep it in a refrigerator until Erev Yontif, and only then to take it out. Although, you may want to check them beforehand, but even after you check them, to try and keep them in some moist atmosphere. Anything else? No. Zehu Be'erach. Be'etzim. In terms of Aravos,
how much the three tefachim is, and what's the...
So we have different deos. The first day of Sukkot is Doraisa, so we're generally talking Machmir of Shir Chazonish in terms of Doraisa. In terms of Shir Chazonish, is about 30 centimeters is three tefachim. Reb Chaim Noah goes down to about 24 centimeters. Very big difference. So usually it says on the bag, Shir Chazonish, Shir Chaim Noah, etc. 8 echad neman bisurim, you could be samach on them. You know, it's just a question. Different people have different personalities. Some people get very uptight, not knowing whether they're hadassim or can't sleep at night, etc. So, such individuals, so they should buy more than one package, to be sure. Or take the phone number of the person who sold you the hadassim so you can contact him if there's a problem. In terms of aravos, over here, basically the problem is that we have two trees that are very, very similar to one another, the Arava and the Tzaftzafa, as was pointed out in Siman Taf Reish Mem Zayin. And there are all sorts of simanim, and how do you know whether it's an Arava or a Tzaftzafa? Arvi Nachal Taf Reish Mem Zayin Ha'amar Batorah Hu Mina Yadua Shenikra Kein Ola Shalom Moshuch Kenachal, it's pulled out, Piv Chalak, smooth on the sides, Kone Shalom Adom, the branch is preferably red, but it could still be green. I feel the Yara Kasha says the Rama, and Zehu. And then there's a Min HaDomeh LaZeh, and the basic difference is that the leaf is more round as opposed to being elongated, and the Piv Domeh LaMasar, that it's more similar. It's like a saw on the sides as opposed to being straight. Now, from someone who owns an Arava tree, I once began to grow an esrog, but it's hard to grow esrog when you have small kids in the house. So I got it to the point. I took a number of seeds of a Zan Chazonish, a beautiful, beautiful esrog, and I put them on cotton and put water on them, put them on the radiator, and until they began to sprout, then I put them into a little flower pot. And until the mamash, I had like, you know, like it was really like, it was nice. It was like beginning to grow. And then one of my children came to me, Abba, what's this? Right? Anyway, so I decided to buy an Arava tree. what could someone possibly do for an Arava? So, but what can do to an Arava is that we live in Har Nof. There are no Nechalim in Har Nof. There's no rivers in Har Nof. And what happens is that when an Arava is near a river, then the leaves become very, very smooth. When an Arava is starved for water, it shows it by the leaves becoming more jagged. It's the same tree, it's the same Arava, just if you don't constantly give it water. So what happens by us is that the leaves that grow in the spring are smooth, and then by the time Sukkot comes around, they look like hair. You know, in any case, so just realize the fact, if you get an Arava and it has like things on the side, it doesn't mean it's not an Arava. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should try and find an Arava that doesn't have pigimot gasot. As pigimot, it can have like little sores, but they should be little sores as opposed to very, very, as opposed to eyesores. Eyesores. Picture. Yeah. I mean, here you see the difference, but some elongated, and they have all different on the sides, that they're not necessarily as smooth. There's one which is very smooth, and then there are those that are not smooth. Okay, it could be, again, in the same tree, you'll have one and the other, depending on how much water they're getting. There is, the two things to look out for in Arava. It's not that difficult to get Aravas, and generally, Aravas, now they sell them again in vacuums, and you can pick them up even a week or two before Sukkot. Generally, they sell them in the street a day or two before Sukkot. Sukkot this year is Tuesday, yes? So on Sunday or Monday, you can pick them up freshly picked. That you should buy them from an adult rather than from a child to be sure that they're not gozel, because some children have a yetzahara to make money, and so they'll steal someone's arava and sell it. So you should be sure that you're not dealing with a lulav hagozel, right? An arava hagzula, you're not yotzei. Mitzvah. There's a hidur called Ravluv. The kids will be yelling, Ravluv, Ravluv, Ravluv. Ravluv means that there's a little leaf coming out of the top of the stem. That way you're sure that it's not katum, that there hadn't been a situation where there was a leaf and it was broken off. Because niktam rosho is a psul in Arava. So if there's a leaf growing from the top, so that's Ravluv, but that's a hidur. Meikar hadin, if naturally there's nothing growing from the top. So it's perfectly fine. Like over here, yeah, there's like a little leaf coming from the top. So it's clear that it was not chopped off at the head. Okay, that's pretty much a regular class what we have in Arba Minim. It's the fellow who brings the schora generally tries to bring, I think, a good schora, but it's there are no guarantees. So Rav David will be here tomorrow morning. Please, since for years I answered questions to Rosh Raga, you should feel no compunctions at all about asking him whatever you want to ask him. And you may want to do more shopping around in terms of prices and in terms of schora. That's your call. I was, there is a problem this year, it's a technical problem in terms of lulavim, that I was told in America it's even worse than it is in Eretz Yisrael, that there are fewer lulavim. There's greater demand than there is supply at this point. And so the prices have gone up very, very much. And so it could be very well be that the quality may not be as good as it should be. What I was told by a lulav salesman is that to be able, if you buy a lulav at this point, which is still a week before Sukkot, to get like one of those little neiriot, the candles that come in the aluminum, you know what I'm talking about? It's what are they called?
A tea light.
Small one, a tea light. And just, you don't have to buy a whole package, maybe together buy a package, and just light one until it liquefies, and then just blow out the flame, right? And then just stick the bottom of the lulav in, and the wax will simply cover the bottom and will keep the moisture inside. Okay, hint. Okay, that's what
how
I was told.
How long does it keep the moisture inside for? How long?
Hopefully until the end of Sukkot. What?
You keep that on?
Yeah, it's the bottom of the lulav. Yeah, it's not a chassid. Right. You're not holding it. Just a very, very, not a whole tip. Just the bottom of the lulav where it's cut off the tree. That's where the moisture would tend to leave the lulav. So that shouldn't become yavesh. That would be an eitzah. Okay, pass on eitzahs. Okay, Zehu, those who want to learn Yoredeya can remain.
The difference between a hiddur and being machmer for all the shibos. The difference between a hiddur and being machmer for kol hashmek. By Esra, we're talking hiddur, but by lulav.